And I don't even know if it was called Winnipeg back then. I think it had another name, like St. Pierre or something. I don't remember. But they were actually carpenters, and they actually built some of the first municipal buildings, schools, churches, and stuff like that in Winnipeg. But then they moved on to Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
But my father joined with his brother, but he was denied entrance into the army with my uncle because he was listed as 5'5", and they said at the time he was too short. But they took him back about a year later, and they sent him, and I forget exactly where, it was in Manitoba to learn. He was handy with trucks and vehicles. He was a mechanic, and he was rebuilding and repairing tanks. And then they put him in the tank corps, and he didn't really want to be in the tank corps, so he was moved to the artillery. And he stayed in the war till the end of the war, and then he stayed about another 9 months after the war, helping the people in Holland.
Oh, yeah.
But he missed my Uncle Frank. There was four boys that went over, and three came home, my Uncle Frank being the only one not to. But he was closest with my dad, and like I say, that's why this has been so important to me, to learn as much as I can, you know, about Uncle Frank and what he experienced. Now, do you remember when you fought the Wong Ni Chong Gap and where General Lawson was killed? That's quite hilly, if I remember. It's very steep. I know Mount Cameron is.
I was in B Company, and when war broke out there, actually I was on a command course on the island on Command Gymnasium. I was a PT instructor, and I was taking the pressure course the day that war broke out, which was actually Sunday there too, of course, and I reported back to my, like I was a corporal at the time, reported back to my company, and they were at Wong Ni Chong Gap, and but about a day after I had already took over my section again, I was told to pack my gear and report back to what they were making up as a reinforcement company, each company. And there I was doing mostly the work of a sergeant, but I was still a corporal.
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of duty and extra work put on all of you at that time.
Oh, that's for sure.
My Uncle Frank was in B Company, 12th Platoon. I know that. I don't know if the B Company and the D Company, did they all meet up at some point in time? Very sad day.
That's for sure.
Plus what you went through after.
There was 290 killed in action, and another 264 died as prisoners of war. That included one Winnipeg Grenadier who died on the voyage home, and the body was
How sad is that to survive all that time and not make it home?
That's for sure.
And I didn't realize the number that died in the POW camp was almost as many as were killed in action on, you know, prior to. Wow.
Our two nursing sisters were, one thing that the Japanese obeyed with the Geneva Convention was that officers would not have to work, and they were paid according to rank money every month. And our two nursing sisters were officers in the Canadian Army, whereas the nursing sisters in the British Army were just that. They were nursing sisters. And the Japanese didn't know what to do with our two female officers. So when the Swedish Red Cross vessel, SS Gold, ships home, visited Hong Kong, bringing back cross parcels and people that were allowed to go into the different camps to see how we were being treated. But they didn't see any of that, how the real way we were treated.
Wow, I'm learning more and more. I did not know that.
Yeah. Long time ago.
It is. It is. 75 years.
That's right.
Yeah, we became members a few years ago with the Hong Kong Commemorative Veterans Association.
Oh, that's good.
And Lori Smith Atkins, she's been a wonderful help. She talked to Carol Hadley, I guess, to arrange this meeting, and my wife was the one that actually approached Lori to make this happen, make this possible for me, so I can't thank them enough for all this. It's wonderful to hear from you. It's wonderful to hear what a memory you have, and your facts and figures are just something else. But thank you for everything you've done, serving, what you went through overseas, and what you do here now today to, you know, keep their memory alive and continue to teach people like me.
Knowing what I do now, but you're welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you so much. I would appreciate that. Okay. Mr. Peterson, could I have your address and then I could send that to you?
Yes. Yes. It's 35 Jerry Crescent.
Jerry?
Cherry. Cherry.
Oh, Cherry.
Yeah, the food, yeah.
Cherry Crescent? Great. 35 Cherry Crescent, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R2J1 Victor 8.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Peterson, thank you so much for your time today.
You're quite welcome.
It's been my pleasure.
Yes.
Well, I've gained quite a bit from you today, sir. I very much appreciate your time and you giving me that time to share and with what you know. It's wonderful, and I'm sure, I just feel it in my heart that, you know, you had met my uncle, and, you know, we'll all be together one day, I'm sure.
I probably had met him. I may have been one of his first instructors.
Isn't that something?
Because what I was doing at the start, I was put in charge of a group of two recruits, teaching them how and when to salute and who to salute. How to stand to attention, etc.
Yes. How was your time, if you don't mind me asking, in Jamaica? You were garrison duty as well in Jamaica?
Oh, yes.
And what did that entail? Like, what were you, guarding different things, or?
Well, there was a large internment camp there.
Oh, I didn't know that. They might be a detriment to the war, and so that's why they were interned, and they were sent to Jamaica, and my job in, at that, when I said medical corps, medical corporal, I had to get a list of medicine that was required by the doctors for the interns. Take it up to the hospital and have it filled, and then bring it back and make out a report on it. I see.
For quite some time there.
Wow. I have a letter from my aunt requesting permission from the Canadian Army to go visit him in Jamaica, and they told her that that would be unwise.
Yeah.
And in his transcripts, we have that he was granted 3 days leave to get married, and just prior to going to Jamaica, and then on his return, they gave him another additional, I think it was 7 days, and that's the only time that they were together as husband and wife, so less than 2 weeks together prior to him sailing with you overseas. But I did not know. All I knew that he was, or all I was under the understanding, it was just called garrison duty, and he was in Jamaica. That's all.
That's right.
Now, were you all over Jamaica, or specifically like Kingston, or?
We were in Kingston. Most that's where our camp was, and that was called Up Out Camp. And then we had it what they call a change of air station. That was up in the mountains of Newcastle.
Newcastle.
And, and like there was, we had five companies, 5 months, you went up for the kangaroo.
Nice. So that's a bit of a respite from doing your guard duty.
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
And then, of course, when we come back to Canada, well, in the first place, there was a Canadian who happened to be the general in charge of the garrison in Hong Kong. And he was called back to England summer of 1941, and on the way home, he stopped in Canada and visited his old friend, General Currer.
Oh, wow. From the First World War.
And then he went, reported back to England. That's when Malfi took over from him. Two weeks later, Currer went to Mackenzie King and asked if he could send two infantry regiments to reinforce the British garrison in Hong Kong. And I guess after Mackenzie King spoke to his dog and that, he okayed it. It never did come up, but Currer and the Southern General had attended the academy and became officers at the same time. That's how they became friends.
Oh, I see.
It never came here what they actually discussed, but at one time, Churchill, for instance, knew what we were getting into, that Hong Kong could never be reinforced or any allies could not be sent there. We would have one of two choices: be taken prisoner of war or be killed in action.
Wow. Neither one's a very good option.
No. And with Churchill, originally, they were going to make Hong Kong what they call an open city. Take all the troops away, send them home or send them to other parts of the world. But the British would have lost face if they had done that. And face in the Orient. Everything.
Yes.
That's the only reason why the hell we were sent there, to save British face.
Yes.
And Churchill knew what we were getting into. But if he had gone to his own parliament and asked to send two regiments to Hong Kong, he would have been laughed out of parliament.
Yes. I read the book No Reason Why.
Yeah.
And that was pretty upsetting to listen to what you've just told me again.
Our goose was cooked.
Yeah.
That was it, yeah.
My father told me he felt that you guys were not adequately trained for combat.
Well, some of us were not. Some of the people, when we come back from Jamaica, we were manned actually for a regiment, and we took on approximately 300 men as reinforcements, and the Royal Rifles of Canada did the same thing. Now, on the train going from here to Vancouver, some of our troops, grenadiers, skipped the train, didn't go with us to Hong Kong. And some of them were away on leave. And of course, at that time, you couldn't just pick up a phone and phone somebody. Phones weren't
Right.
And so some of them missed the train trip too when we left here on October the 25th. And I say some of them missed the train too.
Wow, but that probably saved their lives.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Mr. Peterson, I want to thank you for your time. It's been my privilege and pleasure for sure.
You're quite welcome. And next time we talk, my name is George, not Mr. or Sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
And I hope to talk to you again.
Anytime at all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pretty good, eh?
The last Grenadier.